So I'm going to ask the band to have a little rest for a few minutes, and Johnny's going to come up and speak to us a little bit more about this season and what it means and everything. But just before that, I'm going to play a little song on the guitar, an instrumental song, so I'm not going to sing it. Just get myself set up as I'm talking, bear with me. So this song is called Greensleeves, traditionally, so it's a familiar tune, probably. When you hear it, it will be anyway. Allegedly, Henry VIII wrote this tune, that's what they say. So there you go, it's a bit of trivia for you. But the reason I'm doing it now is because it's traditionally put with words of the carol, What Child Is This? And the chorus says, this is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. And it's all about this vulnerable little child, this baby, who's in this manger, who's very vulnerable, but is also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so that's kind of what we can kind of picture and imagine as I play this song now. So enjoy. You can close your eyes if you want. Joking, sorry, it's a bit cheesy.
Thanks, Danny. And thanks, team. Can't see a thing out there, so I'll just pretend there's loads of you out there, or you're all smiling back at me, so it'll be all right. Often at Christmas, I'm just going to take a few moments to look at who is Jesus. And I think sometimes at Christmas we get so tied up. That song we sung then, Silent Night, when we didn't sing. But you could really sense something going on. And it made me think that often we don't like to stop, because as soon as we stop, we start thinking of the reality of life. We start to ponder about what life's really about. We rather keep busy. Many, many years ago, I did a sketch, a monologue, and I'll give you the idea of it. I'm not going to do it for you. But I pretended I was going to take a photograph of the congregation, the people, and I said, we're going to take a Christmas card photograph. So the first thing we need is Jesus. So I pretended that Jesus would come in and he'd sit there, he'd be in the manger, and I'd describe that. And then I'd ask for Mary and Joseph to come and stand behind. And then I'd go, that's not really just Christmas, is it? Christmas is more than just Jesus and Mary and Joseph. We need the innkeeper and the innkeeper's family. So I would say, let's get them around there. And then there's the angels, isn't there? We always have angels at Christmas. We always love the angels, so let's get some angels in. And I said, that's looked a really good picture now. But then I said, there's got to be more. There's animals. I mean, Jesus was born in a stable, so there's got to be animals there, aren't there? So I'd pretend the animals were coming on and stand around and go, that's brilliant. And then I said, there's the wise men. Three kings or three wise men, but were more than that, probably. But we just said the wise men, and they would come in and stand there. And the shepherds. It's amazing about the shepherds that they have the tea towels on their head, and they're only distinguished between him and Joseph if Joseph has a red tea towel and they have a brown tea towel on their heads. So that's how you know the difference. But we had shepherds coming in. And then there's a star. There's always a star at the Christmas store, isn't there? And I'd say, that sounds brilliant. But then I thought there's got to be more. There's a Christmas tree in there. That's Christmas. So you bring the, I said, let's get the Christmas tree in, and we bring the Christmas tree in. And then I think, well, fairies. There's always a fairy on top of a Christmas tree. The only problem is to put the fairy on the Christmas tree, we need to get rid of a star. But the fairy's better, so let's get rid of a star. So I say, get rid of a star, put the fairy on the tree. And then I think, what is Christmas really about? Well, it's shopping, isn't it? We all love shopping. So get the shoppers in. The only problem is to bring the shoppers in, we need to get rid of somebody. Shepherds, you stink, let's get you out of here. So get the shoppers in and the shepherds out. And I said, that looks even better now. And then I thought, well, we've got the animals there, but reindeers are a bit better, aren't they? So let's get the reindeers in and get rid of the animals, because that's what Christmas is really about, isn't it? And then I looked and I thought, well, we've got the wise men there, but really, these is in every nativity, for some reason, we always have Bob the Builder and Tigger. Or Postman Pat. I don't know. Or the alien. We don't know where they come from. But they're always in the nativity, aren't they? It's usually little Bobby or Billy or Johnny who really can't get a part, but they're giving that job. So anyway, so we get rid of the wise men and bring in Bob the Builder and Tigger. And then I'm thinking, that looks a really good picture, but it's kind of unbalanced now. And there's the angels there talking about a holy night and a silent night. But really, we don't want a silent night. We want to party. So get rid of the angels, because we want just a party, don't we? And then, you know, the innkeeper's family's looking a bit lost now, and I really think we need to replace them with the carol singers, because they're better, aren't they? Especially if we've got some money they can get. I mean, innkeeper didn't have much money, but carol singers can sometimes get plenty of money. So the carol singers come in and the innkeeper and his family go out. So now we've got the fairy, the shoppers, the reindeers, we've got Bob the Builder, we're having a party, we've got the carol singers, and there's Mary and Joseph and Jesus right at the centre. But I don't like Mary and Joseph because I like elves. You know, those little helpers. You never get elves out of men, do you, for some reason? Angels are always ladies these days, anyway, that's another thing. So let's bring the elves in and get rid of Mary and Joseph. So all we're left now is Jesus in the middle of all these things. And I thought, that looks a good picture, but there's somebody I forgot about. Some of that Christmas is really about, and that's Santa. So we need to bring Santa in, and there's only one place he can sit. So get rid of that baby out of the way and put a chair for Santa. Now that's what Christmas is about. It isn't, is it? Christmas is really about Jesus, and it's about who Jesus is. It's easy to miss the point on what Christmas is really about. And it's about a guy called Jesus who was a baby. But this baby, a PowerPoint might come up at some point if I give him a nod. But this Jesus, who is Jesus? Jesus was a baby, and that's what we celebrate. That's what we sung about tonight. But this baby grew up. And when Jesus had grown up, he had some disciples around it, and he asked the question one day, a question I think we need to ask ourselves is, And I'll read this out. He says, Jesus once asked the question of his disciples, who do men say that I am? And after some answers quickly, he followed with a second, more important question, but who do you say I am? In the Bible, this is what it says. It says, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, yet others say the prophet. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? So a question tonight, as much as Christmas is coming on us, you know, really fast, another week and a day, and then it's Christmas, but who do you say Jesus is? Who do I say that Jesus is? Because that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. And this is a life's greatest question that our whole eternity hinges on. Because we can ignore the baby, but we can't ignore the man Jesus. You see, we can kind of package Christmas up and put it away on Boxing Day, I wish, or maybe 12 days later, depends how you work that one out. But who do you say Jesus is? On Friday night, I asked a lot of teenagers who they said Jesus is, and they come out with some interesting answers, not in any particular order, but they said this, that he's just a man. One said he's God. Another said he's a madman. Someone said there's a prophet. You can tell someone's been reading the Bible, can't you? Somebody actually called Jesus a loser. Interesting. He's a good man. Someone said he never was. He wasn't around, really, which I just thought says that shows your ignorance, because there's more proof that Jesus existed than actually some other historical figures. But he took it on the chin and laughed about it. Some said Jesus was just a teacher, a baby maybe. It's all a story just to make kids feel happy. And someone actually said that Jesus was actually evil. We sung songs tonight that talks about Jesus being king. It even called him Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's a song that says that Jesus is our saviour. So who do you say Jesus is? A guy who wrote a load of books, C.S. Lewis, picture coming up. He wrote the Narnia series, and particularly the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. A great intellect and great mind and author, and he wrote great with literature and stuff like this. And he had a knack of putting words together and developing great sentences. And this is what he says, talking about Jesus. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. This is not next slide. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who said that he was a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was is the Son of God, or else a madman, or even something worse. So we've got to decide who he is. And when I find my next number four. Yeah, we'll continue. I'm skipping sheets faster than I should. The next one, he continues, he says, you can shut him up for a fool. You can spit on him and kill him like as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about being a great human teacher. He has not left that open for us. He did not intend to. Sorry about the bad English. Jesus is either who he said he was, or is a lunatic, madman, con man, or something like that. And you've got to decide who he is. So who is Jesus to you? Was Jesus just a good man? Well, Jesus said words like this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if Jesus was a good man, and yet he claimed to be the only way to God, that doesn't sound like a good thing. It kind of doesn't click. It's not right. Because he was more than just a good man. He wasn't just a good man. He was more than that. Because a good man wouldn't say the things he did. In fact, either Jesus is the only way to God, or Jesus was a liar. And if he's a liar, he's not a good man. The logic continues. If he lied, he's not good, because none of us like liars. You're all looking at me. I'm thinking, because I can't really see you. Either you're agreeing with me or thinking, you're lying. Anyway, who is Jesus? Was he a bad man? An evil man, maybe? Well, let's look at what the Bible says, talking about Jesus. This is what Peter says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of a devil, because God was with him. Now, that doesn't sound like an evil person. Jesus did not go around breaking people's legs. He went around making broken legs well. He rose up the dead. He actually cleaned the leper. He sorted people's problems out. I mean, he went to a wedding and they run out of wine, and the first he went and got some more. Miraculously, he turned water into wine. That doesn't sound like an evil, bad person. It sounds like somebody wants to... So Jesus was not a bad person, nor were he just a good person. What about a mad person? I wanted here to try and get the good, the bad, and the ugly. But ugly didn't kind of fit, so we'll go with mad. So we've had bad, we've had good, and now, what are you, a madman? Well, nobody spoke the words that Jesus did if he were mad. His teachings, even from a non-Christian point of view, are amazing. If people live the life according to Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount, it would radically change people's lives. Jesus said some of the greatest statements that people live by even today. So Jesus wasn't just a good man, he wasn't an evil man. So who was he? He's not just a good man, he's an amazing man. So who is Jesus to you? So he wasn't a madman. Jesus said he actually was God. Later on, the Easter story, the reason they crucified Jesus is because he claimed to be God, they said. And that's why they killed him. So let's look at just a couple of points and then I'm going to shut up. Why did Jesus come to earth? Well, the first reason he came is to bring peace. He said, we sang this and we've actually read it. He says that glory to God in the highest, these are the angels talking, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. That's in Luke. Jesus came to bring peace to us. And this morning we looked at Rufus speaking. It's not peace between man and man. There's never going to be peace. But there is peace now between God and us because of Jesus. You see, sin and the mess that we've made was repulsive to God. But because of Jesus coming, it brought peace to earth as Jesus came as an intermediary, as a bridge between man and God. You see, I don't know about you, but I've never really seen angels singing at somebody's birth. I mean, when my daughter was born, I thought it was totally amazing. It were almost like there was angels, but there wasn't. Katie, have you ever seen any angels at all the births you've delivered? No. So these angels turn up at Jesus' birth, so he must have been something special. And they said, this baby's come to bring peace on earth. Sorry about that. Right over. She's a midwife, is Katie. So at his birth, they said he's brought peace on earth. So why did Jesus come to earth in his life? He came to bring life to us. I read this in the Bible, that I have come, talking about Jesus, that you may have life and have it to the full. See, we exist, but without this baby Jesus, without Jesus in us, we don't live life. And God wants us to live life. He wants us to have peace between us and God. And he also wants us to live life. And then later on in John, it says this. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you. This is Jesus speaking. The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus said this, that he came to give us life. And this is the life he came to give, eternal life, knowing God. So in his birth, he came to give us peace. In his life, he came to give us life. And at his death, we read this. This is as Jesus was dying on the cross. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Now, I'm not being funny, but when you crucify somebody, they know what they're doing. But he was talking beyond that. Father, forgive them. Forgive the people, because they don't realize that I've got to die so that they can live. I need to die so that you can bring forgiveness. Later on, we read this. Brothers, listen. We are here to proclaim, this is Peter speaking, to proclaim that through this man Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sins. Because this baby that grew up, that we celebrate at Christmas, and he grew up and lived a life, a perfect life. And then when he got older, people loved him or people hated him. And even today, people love him or hate him. And sometimes people hate him outright, but yet some people get religious and think that's enough. That's not what it's about. Jesus didn't come to make us religious. He came to give us life, and he came to bring us forgiveness. So what should we do? Some interesting verses in the Bible. It says this, talking about Jesus. He says, in the beginning was the Word. This is talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made. That's me and you and everything else. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Because of this baby that we celebrate at Christmas came down to earth, God, through this man Jesus, gives us the right to become children of God. So how do we become children of God? If Jesus was who he said he was, and he is the only way to the Father, that Jesus said that he is the only way to the Father, what should we do? Well, there's a couple of points here that I've met, there's more to it, but this is really the essence of it. First of all, we need to change our mind. That is to repent, the old-fashioned word, change our mind. We need to say that we need help. We need help with our sin, and he will take it away from us. We also need to say sorry to God and be forgiven, and just receive his forgiveness upon our lives. And then we need to give our lives over to Jesus. It's not just good enough to say, yeah, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you, God. I receive your forgiveness. We need to give our lives to him so that we can have eternal life with Jesus. Something that we don't like talking about, but there is a hell to shun, to run away from, and an heaven to receive. Now, people often talk about getting saved from hell, but Jesus didn't just come to save us from hell. He came to save us to an amazing life. He came to save us into an amazing relationship with him. When we give our lives to Jesus, he gives himself to us. And it says he works in us and with us. We have a friendship with God. That's a peace that I've talked about. We have a purpose. That's a life that we've mentioned. And the guilt of the things that we have done has been washed away. And that's a forgiveness. So who is Jesus to you? You can't just leave it on a shelf year after year, because the Bible does clearly say that one day we'll all stand before him. One day every one of us will have to stand before him. And to some he'll say, welcome, good and faithful servants. To others he'll say, depart from me, I don't know you. So whether you want to know more about this baby Jesus when he grew up or not, that's your choice. But let me encourage you to check it out. Think about it. Not just put it away with the presents and the wrapping paper after Christmas and think it's over and done with for another year. When we stop singing, guys, I thought that were amazing. When we just, in a sense, almost hum that song, you could really sense God in the place. And some of you might have thought, well, it's just a tickle on the neck. No, maybe that's God trying to get your attention and saying there's more to this baby that you're singing about than just a myth or an old song. Guys, if you want to know more, when we're going to have a few songs now, but at the end, I'm going to be through there. I'm going to try and fight you off to get to some of those buns and stuff like that. But I think there's plenty of them. But do grab me. Do talk to me. Don't let it go. Don't let it just wade away. Because we all think we'll be here next year. But some people last year thought the same. And aren't. And they are standing, it says, the Bible says that we're absent from body, present with the Lord, that we stand before him. And I'm not telling you this because we need more people in our church. I'm not telling you this so that you can become religious. But I want you to experience the life-giving joy of God living inside you. That I've got and other people have got. That relationship with the Father that you can't have through doing religion, but by just getting to know Jesus. Humbly coming before him saying, I've messed up. I need you. Guys, some of you may have been away from God. You've done this before. Maybe this Christmas is a time to say, God, I'm in business now with you. And others might think, I don't know anything about this, Johnny. Then come and talk to me. And let's have a chat about it. Amen.